Good morning. Thank you all for having me this morning. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be here to speak with you. You may have noticed my message title, An Attitude of Gratitude. I will be speaking on the lectionary, which is Joshua, Psalms, Thessalonians, and Matthew. Now, you may wonder what the lectionary has to do with an attitude of gratitude, or even what gratitude has to do with the world in which we live today. But let's look at it and clear your mind a little bit. Take some new thoughts in, perhaps. We're just coming out of the COVID pandemic, and things are not the same as they were before. Did we overreact to that or not? We are still dealing with a protracted war in the Ukraine, which is now generally forgotten, but who knows what the conditions are there. Did we overreact to that? Then one day recently, war or conflict between Israel and Hamas shocks us again. And we have our own conflicts here within our own country. So where is our gratitude? Well, for some reason in the past of our history, people came up with times to share gratitude in this month of October. November the 11th is Veterans Day. The fourth Thursday in November is Thanksgiving Day. Veterans Day was established after the end of World War I in 1918, which ended in 1918. And that was certainly a horrific period of time, those 4 years. And little was it imagined at the time that the war to end all wars was little more than a foretaste of the horrors and evils to come a mere 20 years later in World War II. These two wars consumed tens of millions of lives, human lives. As for Thanksgiving, a unique American celebration which it has its roots some 400 years ago, how do we reconcile that with the trials and tribulations of today? Well, I received a letter which I thought was most timely. Actually, it was not a letter. It was a request for a Thanksgiving offering. And I have a relationship with the First Baptist Church of Hyannis, Massachusetts. And that church is very, very much like our own. And that relationship began some 40 years ago when we were in the Army and we were stationed in Massachusetts. And as a family, we'd visit Cape Cod in the summertime for a short time of leave and vacation. And the church was right on the same block as where we stayed. And so we went to church there, and we continued to do that. And when I go visit my son, Sam, we go down on Cape Cod, and I still go to church there. And they had this special Thanksgiving offering. I got a letter from them, which reads, "Dear church family and friends, the major difference between a believer and a non-believer is who gets the credit for what happens in their life. The Mayflower Pilgrims arrived ill-equipped and unprepared for the harsh New England winter of 1620. William Bradford recounted their experience as follows. That which was so sad and lamentable was that in 2 or 3 months' time, half their company died, especially in January and February, being the depth of winter and wanting houses and other comforts, being infected with scurvy and other disease, which their long voyage and their unaccommodated condition had brought them. So as there died, sometimes 2 or 3 a day in the aforesaid time, that of the 100 and odd persons, scarce 50 remained. Losing half their community was an unimaginable trial, but these Christian believers persevered and trusted in their Lord. The only contemporary account of the first Thanksgiving was written by Edward Winslow in 1621. Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent 4 men on fowling, that we might, after a special manner, rejoice together, and after we had gathered the fruits of our labors. Although it not always be so plentiful as it was at that time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish you partakers of our plenty. That's certainly a severe time. Now let's make a major shift here in this message. Last week, Pastor Rob's sermon, it was his sermon, I just delivered it, was about changes and adapting to new conditions. And here we have, and he's kind of given us a choice. We have a choice to adapt to new conditions or not, to look for new ways or not. And how do we do that? Well, maybe we could start by what Joshua tells us. And as scripture reading there was from Joshua, and it's titled in some Bibles, The Covenant Renewal at Shechem. And it says, Joshua then gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And this was about the last act that Joshua did as leader of the people. And he tells them about God bringing the story of Abraham and bringing him out of his home to another place, and the other places and things that God had taken the Israelites. And they have this history of change. Abraham came from a different country and settled. They were in slavery in Egypt. They went from Egypt into the desert and then into the promised land. And Joshua goes on to say, Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. But for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And they discussed what God had done for them and said, Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua says, Then put away foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord of Israel. And I can't read that without thinking, what gods do we need to put away? The people said to Joshua, The Lord is our God, and we will serve him, and we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and the statutes and ordinance for them at Shechem. Then we get into Psalms, and this is a kind of a rendition of what God has done for us. Give ear, O my people, to my teachings. Incline your ears to the word of my mouth. We will tell to coming generations the glorious deeds of our God and our Lord and his might and the wonders he has done for us. So that they should set their hope in God and do not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Now let's return to an attitude of gratitude. You might take the attitude, why? Look at what we are facing. As we mentioned, we talked about the pilgrims, World War I and II, COVID, war in Ukraine, even though probably we've lost interest in that. And now a war in the Holy Land. I guess you could call it a war. It's pretty bad. And we have a divided country. We hear that all the time. Well, the pilgrims lost 50% of their party, but they kept the faith and gave us Thanksgiving. World War I and II was the last global war. COVID, we survived. Hopefully, we learned something from it. Ukraine and the Middle East, their regional conflicts. And I guess you could say since the beginning of human time, there have been conflicts. If you look back in history, there are very, very few years that there wasn't some kind of conflict going on among the people in this world. But we do have one hope. It's been 80 years since the end of World War II. We haven't had a global conflict since then, and that's probably unlikely to happen. Only the U.S., Russia, and China have anywhere near the capability to start something like that. And Russia doesn't seem to be doing anything to do that unless it's just protecting its country and its self-interest. China has its own problems. They have to feed 1.5 billion people, that's billion people every day. And the U.S. has some capability. We've lost a lot of our ability to sustain a very long, protracted conflict because we're out of ammunition. We've given it all to most of it to the Ukrainians. An attitude of gratitude. Let's be honest with ourselves. We have a few, and I emphasize a few, problems. On the other hand, we have nearly infinite blessings. You can start making a list of the blessings we have and probably do it the rest of your life. So let's look at a few. Did you wake up this morning? Is your home secure, warm, and dry? Do you have electricity? Maybe we should thank the linemen who go out at any time, anywhere, and work maybe 100 hours a week restoring power or keeping it going. What about the people who toiled to create and invent all of the things we have that give us electricity? Do you have running water? Was it hot? You could say the same thing about water as we do about electricity. I know Richard Kaiser used to talk about these men working on the water in Romney in the wintertime, and he'd be down in a hole in the mud, and the water would be squirting all over, and every now and then, they make some guy get out of the hole and get in a pickup to dry up or warm up a little bit. But they kept working on it and kept it going. Did your car start today? Did you have to hand crank it? Did you eat this morning? Was your food readily available? Was the church warm, open, and lighted when you got here? Do you have the freedom to come here? Or any place else you would like to go in our country? And are you safe in doing so? I want to switch this around. Speaking of Veterans Day, people thank me for being a veteran. But I say to you, citizens, I thank you. You gave me an opportunity to serve my country, our country. You supported me and my family with all that I needed to do that. You gave me opportunities that I would never have had if I had not been in the military. One of them was just to grow as a person and a Christian. I could not have done that without you, and that continues to this day. And it continues to those who have gone on before us and their work and sacrifice. Now, if we want to thank somebody on a daily basis or from time to time, my personal two favorites of people I feel I owe a terrible debt of gratitude are grocery store workers and medical personnel. They went to work every day during the pandemic. They were considered essential. Other people were not. But anyhow, they were there every day. We could not have survived without them. And I still to this day remain amazed that any of these people are still alive, depending on all the things that we were told about the pandemic. But let us continue to look at 1 Thessalonians, which says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, so that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For the Lord himself, with a cry, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the air in the Lord. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And here we are looking at the greatest gift of all, for which we must be eternally grateful, the gift of God and Jesus Christ. And that's the reason we're here today. But to continue that, there is something we have to do. Pam gave a very good message on the 10 virgins or bridesmaids, or might be a more modern term, who had to meet the bridegroom, and five were prepared and five were not. So we just have to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. And we have to always keep that in mind. So what we have today, in Joshua, people renewed their covenant with the Lord. Psalms spoke of the actions and goodness of God. 1 Thessalonians reminds us of the gift of God and Jesus to us. In Matthew, Jesus tells us, we neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Therefore, we must always be ready, for we know neither the day nor the hour. Amen.